It is April 17th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. COVID has largely disappeared from the headlines. You still see some people wearing masks, but they are in the fringe minority, except at hospitals and doctor's offices. But COVID is still one of the leading causes of death in the U.S., with some 250 COVID-related deaths a day on average, the Washington Post reports. So let's continue to be careful out there, especially around older and immunocompromised communities. Cboe Global Markets has a story on its Insights page titled Mission Possible: Why a Pre-Trade Tape Works and Needs to be Adopted in Trilog. The description of the piece is EU policymakers are gathering this week to begin finalizing the MIFR review, and a crucial decision they will need to make is the type of consolidated tape, that's CT, that will be mandated for the EU equities market. What caught my eye on LinkedIn about the Cboe's post on the Insight piece was this tidbit. Fact, the slower the tape, the more misleading it becomes. The Financial Times published a special report about fixed income. The report summary says bank collapses in Switzerland and the U.S. have made bondholders reconsider risk to their capital and yield expectations, but the U.K. gilt market is returning to normal after political upheavals and green bonds are being held to higher standards. Here are the stories in the FT's fixed income special report. Investors rethink risk after Credit Suisse bonds wiped out. Swiss regulators' decision to prioritize equity over additional Tier 1 debt capital raises questions over $260 billion market. Banking turmoil creates uncertain outlook for bond yields. Collapse of Silicon Valley Bank makes investors doubt further hikes in interest rates despite inflation. UK gilt market returns to normal as idiot premium subsides. An end to the soaring yields and forced selling under the Truss administration should make it easier to issue new bonds. All-to-all trading offers fix for illiquid treasury markets. New system would reduce reliance on banks and make U.S. government bond market more like the stock market. Analysts pore over Ueda's words for clues on Japanese bond policy. New central bank governor uses a phrase that suggests yield curve could end this year. New standards keep the greenwash off green bonds. European Union aims to define what counts as sustainable debt finance and bring in independent reviewers. Nodal Exchange traded its first Washington Carbon Allowance, WCA, options last week and set a new daily record of 565 contracts. Bloomberg is reporting that ChatGPT has a future as a Fed watcher. The story says that ChatGPT can decode Fed speak and predict spot stock moves from headlines. It says the Fed staff found the tech can decipher dovish, hawkish language. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink had his compensation cut 30% down to $25.2 million in 2022. Total assets under management declined 14% in 2022 at BlackRock as the number of economic factors led to the decline, Bloomberg reported. I'm sure he will find a way to get by. the SEC Historical Society shared on LinkedIn today that this week in 1978, the NYSE launched the Intermarket Trading System, ITS, transmitting orders for 11 securities on a pilot basis. ITS was a compromise between exchanges seeking to retain their trading floors and the SEC promoting an integrated national market system. You can learn more with the link in today's newsletter. The Freakonomics Radio Network did an episode on Hal Weitzman's book, What's the Matter with Delaware? In a video titled, Why Does One Tiny State Set the Rules for Everyone? Wedbush Securities has hired Matt Lyle as its new Futures Chief Compliance Officer. Eugene Eng is starting a new position as Head of Product Management, U.S. Securities Operations at UBS. Eng previously was with DTCC. Frank Tirado has joined the Calamos investment team leading ETF marketing. Who is Lucas Helmke? He's an Australian man who just set a new world record for the most push-ups done in 1 hour. How many, you ask? He did 3,206 push-ups, the New York Post reports. That's about 3,205 more than I can do currently. The International Swaps and Derivatives Association annual general meeting takes place in Chicago, May 9th through 11th, 2023, at the Swiss Hotel Chicago. It's a three-day in-person event with many educational and networking sessions. Sessions include Bloomberg's Odd Lots podcast hosts Joel Wiesenthal and Tracy Alloway, interviewing CFTC Chairman Rostam Benham live on stage at 9 a.m. Wednesday. SEC Chair Gary Gensler delivers the May 10th lunch keynote. View the agenda and register with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have another video from JLN's coverage of FIA Boca. Josh Sterling of Jones Day talks with John Lothian News about NFTs, DeFi, and the role banks play related to climate change. Josh Sterling, a partner with Jones Day specializing in commodities and derivatives law, spoke with John Lothian News about his work helping trading platforms address strategic enforcement, regulatory, and transactional matters. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, The Downside of Success, It Can Lead to Failure. Research on both basketball and business teams suggests that successful teams tend to rely too much on the stars. Does success beget success? Not necessarily. In fact, success can hurt a winning team. In our research, we found that success comes with a trap. It can cause teams to rely on their most influential members, or stars, in other words. The hierarchy of the team becomes steeper. This makes the team less adaptable and more likely to get stuck in old ways of doing things, and ultimately it increases the chances of failure the next time around. My comment, too much of a good thing can make you blind to other things going on. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. Banking crises are preventable, but human nature gets in the way. From 1300s Venice to 2023 Silicon Valley, financial panics arise from an endless cycle of complacency, risk-taking, and fear. One of Jamie Dimon's daughters called him up from school with a question more than a decade ago. Dad, what's a financial crisis? The billionaire who runs JP Morgan Chase & Company tried to put her at ease. It's the type of thing that happens every 5 to 7 years, he told her. He later testified to the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission. She asked him on the phone why people seem so surprised by the calamity. In Washington, when he told this story, he said we shouldn't be. My comment. Darn human nature. If only we were all Vulcans like Mr. Spock from Star Trek. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. How bank apps know you're you. A lot goes on behind the scenes to keep you safe from hackers. If you've learned one thing from years of hacks and phishing, it's this. A username and password alone aren't strong enough to protect our most precious accounts. So why don't our bank apps require us to pile on extra security settings? Security experts and our own columnists have long urged people to turn on two-factor authentication or other tools to secure their apps. Banks, arguably the most sensitive apps on our smartphones, don't often make you use any of that. My comment. You are not where you normally are. You did not come in the way you normally do. You might be an intruder. Here is another story, this one from the Financial Times. Not a penny more. The time to abolish the U.S. coin has come. The denomination costs more to produce than it has ever, and public opinion is shifting. They pile up in drawers. They're taken or left on a whim at store counters. Vending machines and parking meters won't accept them, and last year they cost the U.S. Treasury $100 million more to produce than they're worth. Despite all this, the penny, America's copper-plated one-cent coin, persists. For decades, U.S. lawmakers, journalists, and penny jar owners have debated whether the coin's declining value justifies its continued production. My comment. Everything under $5 should be digital. There, I said it. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was the once mighty Eurodollar futures contract fades away from Bloomberg. Second was CME versus ASX, a cage match with only one winner, subtitled Terry Duffy's Parents Let Their Child $50,000. He lost it all and more, and then built an amazing monopoly from Intelligent Investor. Third was a tie between the top 25 entry-level jobs for college grads in 2023 from Bloomberg and John Lothian News video interview from FIA Boca, ICE Futures U.S. President Jennifer Ilkey talks with John Lothian News about her career in finance, cash-settled contracts, and what's new. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Bloomberg. The headline, Wall Street tells new high school grads to pick tech career over finance. Investors say high school students graduating this year should go into tech rather than finance. For today's kindergartens, AI is seen as a threat to both career paths. Graduating high school students will be best off pursuing a career in tech rather than finance, investors said. For soon-to-be adults, tech is the smartest route despite recent layoffs at Meta Platforms, Inc., Amazon.com, Inc., and Alphabet, Inc. The latest MLIV Pulse survey with 678 respondents suggests tech savvy is seen as ever more important in a world increasingly influenced by digital platforms and artificial intelligence. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The UK's financial watchdogs, 10 years on the political tightrope. Over their first decade, the FCA and the PRA have had to guard against scandals, even as government priorities shifted towards post-Brexit growth. The 2008 financial crisis was a calamity for many, but for David Cameron and George Osborne, then leaders of the UK's Conservative Opposition Party, it was also an opportunity, as the collapse of Lehman Brothers sent shockwaves through global finance and the UK nationalized several banks. Osborne devised a plan to dismantle the regulatory structure created by the ruling Labour Party and centered around the super regulator Financial Services Authority. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, Rate Rises Test Charles Schwab's Tactics in U.S. Brokerage Price Wars. Brokers' big bet on customers' cash looked like a smart move until Fed began to tighten. Charles Schwab's war on fees has come home to roost as rising interest rates sour the largest U.S. broker's big bet on customer cash. Under pressure from low-cost startups such as Robinhood, Schwab shook its industry in 2019 by eliminating trading fees, then one of its biggest revenue streams. The move seemed decisive in a long industry-wide price war, letting it outflank low-cost competitors such as E-Trade and TD Ameritrade and become the largest retail brokerage in the U.S. with $7.4 trillion in customer assets. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.